Chapter 3. Stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour. We would like to draw your attention again to the universal archaic doctrine of which the writings of Hermes Trismegistus provide evidence, as far as these texts are still available to us. Our previous discussions concerning the Egyptian arch Gnosis were based on two books, and we will now continue with the third and fourth books. We need not spend much time on the question of whether or not the texts we have selected are indeed the third and fourth books of the original writings. Numerous editions of Hermetic literature have appeared in many languages during the course of the centuries, but an authentic sequence has never been established. Investigators only agree that hundreds, if not thousands, of Hermetic writings must have existed, most of which, however, have been lost. The few books left have been arranged in various ways according to the compiler's own point of view. For this reason, we have decided to follow our intuition. We would first like to place before you a brief address by Hermes. Ignorance. God is the greatest evil in man, and we will then turn to Hermes' oration to the glory of God. When you read these texts, you may find that their contents are very familiar, because you have repeatedly been confronted with the ideas discussed in them. However, this should not cause you to put them aside. The point is that although you may already have grasped these things intellectually, they now come to you driven by a powerful intention with a renewed appeal, because the time has come, the time of declaration. The beginning of Hermes' speech is not very flattering. Where are you hurrying, Zero Men, you whose minds are clouded because you are drunk with the word that lacks all gnosis, the word of absolute ignorance that does not agree with you and that you will vomit in the end? Stop and become sober, see again with the eyes of your heart. And if not all of you can do so, let those at least who can. The malignity of ignorance floods over the whole earth, ruins the soul which is penned up in the body, and prevents it from reaching the harbours of salvation. In the spiritual school, we have often discussed the new astral field, the new Gnostic realm, which has been made ready to fulfil its task. All those who are pupils of the young Gnostic Brotherhood are very directly concerned in this. And now they are given a warning because of the exclusive position in which they find themselves. It is a warning of a universal and archaic kind which comes to them from thousands of years ago. The wisdom of which we are allowed to bear witness is more than 400,000 years old at least. It is a warning intended for every group which is in the same exceptional position, a warning for every young Gnostic Brotherhood. Its main point is that evil does not allow, cannot allow pupils to reach the harbours of salvation. If you seriously strive to participate in the inner life of the Gnosis, you can be sure that there will be a struggle over you. If you really persevere, you cannot escape this struggle. In fact, it proves that the candidate has definitely entered the initial stage of acquiring the new consciousness. Just think in this connection of the temptation of Jesus the Lord in the desert when he started his work. The malignity of ignorance floods over the whole earth. What is called malignity is the elixir of life in dialectics, the elixir of life in the counter nature, the entire atmosphere of dialectics in which all creatures live. We will not deal with the question of how this life elixir of the counter nature, the breath of death, originated, how the malignity of ignorance emerged. The interested reader may obtain abundant information on this in our literature. Let us now confine ourselves to the fact that the malignity of the counter nature, the life elixir of dialectics, exists. We, nature-born beings, are embedded, as it were, in a sphere of life which is disastrous for the manifestation of salvation. We breathe in the life sphere of death, and, by virtue of our natural birth, are one with it to such an extent that this link may be considered complete. So everyone should consider this discussion as a very personal matter. No one should think about other people in this respect, but everyone should first direct his attention to himself. Our unity with the elixir of death is especially determined by the nature and state of the blood in which the past of the microcosm manifests itself. However, not only all our predecessors in the microcosm speak their language in the blood, but also hereditary factors play their role, which also means the predecessors in the microcosms of our parents. All these voices speak in our blood. Everything our almost endless line of ancestors have done, or failed to do, has a noticeable influence on our blood state. On this basis, we attract forces, ethers, and other influences which feed the blood and are congenial with it. Because like attracts like. We also need to draw your attention to the organs of the human body which produce blood, such as the bone marrow. These organs consist of cells which in turn consist of countless atoms. Every atom is a small world in itself. If our bloodstream is a stream of death, and this is the case, if our bloodstream is one with the counter nature, and this is equally so, the core is rooted not only in the blood, but in the entire being, down to the very bones, as the Bible states, right down to every fiber, every cell of the body. This is an irrefutable fact which none of us can circumvent, and for which we have to make allowance. The corporeality, the personality, is an emergency personality which is called to devote itself to the original man of whom a remnant is still present in our present-day microcosm. In the philosophy of the Rosy Cross, this remnant is called the proto-atom, the Christ atom, or the rose of the heart. It is the task of the emergency personality to devote itself to the original being in the microcosm, because we can sail into the harbors of salvation only after we have been transfigured, after we have become one with the original being within us. To enable us to fulfill this task set for us by God, we possess two organs which will ensure the beginning and the fulfillment of this journey home, the heart sanctuary and the head sanctuary. They have their own process of metabolism and greatly differ in this respect from the rest of the personality. The atomic structure of the heart and head sanctuaries differs from that of the other organs. From the birth of the personality, the metabolic process of the important parts of the head and heart is kept separate from the other maintenance processes as far as possible, in order to keep open the possibility of fulfilling the calling of nature. Born man and the task connected with it. That of being absorbed by the original being, of giving oneself completely away in self-surrender to the original divine man within the microcosm. The sevenfold heart is the seat of Isis, the mother of life, the place where the proto-atom is preserved. It is also the place where the seven light, the light of the seven rays, the light of the Holy Spirit, will have to find access. The heart may therefore be compared with the light gate of Bethlehem. In the Chinese Gnosis, the sevenfold head is called the town of Nephrite, and in the Gospel, it is called Jerusalem. The Book of Revelations emphasizes that we should transform this Jerusalem into the new Jerusalem, the city of God. In this city, we find the heavenly heart or the purple hall, or the throne room of the God within us. From the heart of Isis, from the heart of the Mother of Life, this God must be redeemed to be able to ascend his throne in the purple hall. Now, if you become inwardly alive to what must be done and what must be omitted in order to follow this divine calling, then there is the adversary, the malignity of ignorance. This malignity, said Hermes, floods the whole earth. This adversary will do its utmost to prevent us from entering the harbour of salvation. So there is no reason to sit and sun oneself, mystically speaking, but rather to put one's shoulder to the wheel and begin working on one's own being vigorously and with clear insight. The Gnostic revelation of salvation is intended for and aimed at the individual lives of every one of us. Therefore, if one understands its call and is willing to respond positively, one will need to work perseveringly at one's personal life for as long as there is still time. If one does so, one will at the same time also be entitled to work for the salvation of others and say, "Where are you hurrying, Zero Men, you whose minds are clouded because you are drunk with the word that lacks all gnosis, the word of absolute ignorance?" Drunkenness, a befuddling of the senses, is an abnormality of the consciousness. Mankind is kept in a state of constant clouding of the consciousness by means of the bloodstream, which is urged through the town of Nephrite, the head sanctuary, by the rhythm of the heartbeat. In the long run, this continual intoxication causes a degeneration, injuring and finally annihilating the various vital functions of the personality, as long as the emergency body has not yet reached such a state of complete degeneration that susceptibility to the liberating light is definitely excluded, there remains a possibility for the clouding of the consciousness to yield for a moment, for example, as the result of a very intense experience, which then acts as a shock. In such moments, the head and heart can be used in accordance with their calling. That is why Hermes said that, during such moments, the word of ignorance will no longer agree with you and that you will vomit it. In this state of soberness, you will be able to see clearly with the eyes of the twofold heart, the heart of Isis and the heart of Pimander, what you have to do. The light power of the Gnosis, the life elixir of salvation, enters the pupil again and again and makes itself felt in his system. However, this light power is always corrupted by the malignity of ignorance. If, for example, you participate for some time in a conference at one of the Gnostic foci, you will be fully charged with light power. For a short time, it will vibrate in your blood, but very soon and rather easily, without you yourself knowing, you will be absorbed again by the malignity of ignorance and tied down to the earth. In this way, the light power is again lost because of this malignity of ignorance. And then it could happen that exactly at the moment that counts, you will be in want of pure oil for your life lamp. It is not at all imaginary, but rather a certainty that in times to come there will be moments when the call will be heard. Go out to meet the bridegroom. Then you will have to show whether you are wearing your wedding garment. In this connection, think of the parable of the foolish and the sensible bridesmaids. The sensible ones had enough oil for their lamps, while the foolish ones, at the psychological moment, had none. In the present, too, all who want to enter the wedding hall as welcome guests will have to bear in mind the warning: stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour.